God's love language. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Amen.
All right. I like that enthusiasm. Let me also say good morning and welcome to Show Your Love Sunday here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today's a special day. It's a day of candy and cards and flowers and various tokens of our love to one another. This day is a long-standing tradition here at Lighthouse. We've been doing this for many years now. We adopted this from our mother church many years ago. And February and Valentine's Day, being all about that mushy, lovey stuff, you know, is a perfect opportunity to capitalize on something that everybody's already thinking about anyway. Love just happens to be the number one thing that we Christians are commanded to practice. And if you can get this down, if you can get this love business down, you know, everything else that God wants you to do is going to fall into place as a natural product of this one thing. You're going to find that true. You see, love fulfills all of the commandments of God. It's what the Lord commanded Israel back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." This is also what the Lord Jesus commanded us in the New Testament as well. Matthew 22:36, a Pharisee lawyer trying to trip Jesus up, good luck with that, asked Jesus, he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The first and the great commandment, that this is it, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments," Jesus said, "hang all the law and the prophets." You see, our number one command, our number one glorious opportunity, our number one privilege is to love God. We definitely did not start out loving God. Because of our sin, we either were or still are, if that be the case, at enmity with God. We were not God's friends. We were not in love with God. When we trusted Jesus to save us from our sins, the Bible says that we made peace with God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, making peace with God happens all at once, with one single event called the new birth. Learning to love God, on the other hand, is something that we will be doing for an entire lifetime. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and there are a lot of biblical ways to say it, if you are now truly one of those who are God's spiritual children, I know for a fact that your desire is to love the Lord. That is a known. It's your desire. Now, some years ago, a fellow by the name of Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. This book, written in 1995, has transformed thousands of relationships. I think it ought to be required reading for every engaged couple, every person who ever hopes to be engaged, every married person, every parent, well, I think you get the story. I think you get the point here. Dr. Chapman will educate you on what makes those who you love feel loved. Do you know you're loved, but sometimes don't feel loved? Well, almost without exception, the things that make you feel loved is not going to be the same things that make others that you love feel that way. The five emotional love languages are these. They are the words of affirmation. Sometimes that makes a person feel loved. They are quality time. That is something that really is number one for some. Gifts. Some people really feel loved when they receive gifts. Acts of service. I know that number two and number four happen to be Lisa's love language. I do know your love language, darling. Quality time and acts of service. Yes, I do know. And number five, fellas, of course, is physical touch. Now, it becomes very easy to see how that understanding and speaking, as it were, these languages can bless the lives of those that we love. This being Show Your Love Sunday, our love gift to you, Lisa and I, have bought out our local Christian bookstore stock of this book, and we have enough out there to bless 22 families with that book today. And so get yours on the way out of the building today. If you don't have this book in your family, you take one until they're all gone. That's our gift to you for Show Your Love Sunday today. This book is going to be a great help in keeping that second great commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And who's a closer neighbor than your spouse, amen, or your kids, or those in your own household? But what about the first great commandment? What about the first commandment? What is God's love language this morning? We're all about figuring ours out, right, and desiring ours to be spoken by those that love us and we love. So what's God's love language? You know, of these five love languages, one of them for sure is going to be your number one deal. There will likely be probably two that really mean a lot to you. If you want to love your wife, learn to speak her love language. Learn what it is and how to speak it. If you want to love your husband, ladies, learn his love language and how to speak that language to where he gets it. If you want to learn, if you want to love God, well, guess what? Learn his love language and how to speak it. There are three love languages that I find in Scripture. Now, there are probably more than this, and I'm sure there are, but there's for sure at least three that the Word of God tells us is definitely how to show our love for God. Very specific in this. The first, and it may not be in this priority order, but it happens to be the one that I have actually chosen to tell you about first. The first love language that we see is God's love language is that we keep His commandments. That we keep His commandments. In 1 John chapter 2, and verse 3 and verse number 4, He says, "Hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments," now don't get mad, I didn't write this, "is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So what are these commandments that we're supposed to keep? Well, are they the 613 Mosaic laws of the Old Testament? Are they the basic Ten Commandments? Well, no, not any of these. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Everybody that's glad of that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe they're the list of the things people think that we require for all the new Christians. Things that you can't do anymore now that you're a Christian. Okay, here are all the things that you can't do anymore now that you're saved. You see, is that the commandments that we're talking about here? You know, isn't that what you thought it was like before you got saved? Man, if I get to become a Christian, I'm going to have to do all this stuff, and I can't do this and this and this. Well, let me tell you what. There are commandments, all right, that God tells us that we saved people are to keep. If you want to love God, there are commandments that you need to keep if that's going to happen. There are basically four New Testament commandments that we are to keep. Now, there's other little headings under these major headings, but there are basically four. The first one is found in 1 John 3 and verse 23, and that commandment is to believe. Because until you put your trust in Jesus, you can't even begin to love God at all. You can't speak His love language until first you put your trust in Jesus and become redeemed, saved by the blood of the Lamb, born again, your spirit passed from death into life. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He gave us commandment. The second New Testament commandment that we are to keep is to get baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Every saved person is commanded by the Lord to get a scriptural baptism, which is going to make you a part of one of His churches. And that happens to be where all the details are learned from that point on in your Christian life. Acts 10:48, "And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." At the end of the service today, we have three people that are obeying that commandment today. We're gonna do that later. The third commandment is that once we're a part of one of the Lord's churches, like He commanded us to be, that we are to worship the Lord. The Bible says in John 4:23, "The hour comes and now is," Jesus said, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." There's part of that verse got left out. I remembered it, but there's a typo in the print here. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's a must, ladies and gentlemen. It's not if you go to school and you take a course that you're not required to take, what is that?
Elective.
It's not an elective. That's the word I'm talking about. The worship in the Bible, there are five New Testament commands of worship in the Bible. One of them is to sing. And by the way, y'all did some good singing a while ago. Yeah, you did. The presence of the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. And He showed up this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praying. We're going to have some corporate prayer as well as the individual prayer. But that corporate prayer is important. We've already been doing that some. We're going to do it again. Giving is a part. Tithing and giving is one of the ways that we worship God and are commanded to in the Scriptures. And the preaching of the Word of God, we're commanded to do that as a part of our worship. And it's not just a one-way thing. That's that participation that you experience and that you get involved in the preaching, you're supposed to do that, by the way. That's the way God tells us in the Bible that it's supposed to happen. And the observing of the Lord's Supper, which will be back on schedule next week at 9:30, right here, every Sunday morning. These are otherwise known as the things you really can't do in a bass boat out on the lake. Okay? Just in case somebody, you know. I'm not saying you can't worship the Lord, but if it's the Lord's day and you're one of the Lord's children, you're supposed to be in God's house doing this. Amen?
Amen.
And that fourth command, that number four command, is that we serve Him. That we serve the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now I realize there are other details, a lot of other subheadings under these, but these basic four things are what those New Testament commands are that God says that we believers are to keep. In 1 John 5:3, He goes on to tell us, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Whoever puts their trust in, that's what believe means, that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the promised one, the Messiah of the Old Testament, who came and bled and died and paid our debt and was buried and the third day raised again for our justification. Whoever puts their trust in Him is born of God. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. And everyone that loves Him, do you love Him this morning? And everyone that loves Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of God, of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not heavy. They are not, I can't believe I've got all this responsibility. They are not grievous. This brings us to God's second love language, which is that we love the brethren. This is how to speak God's love language. This actually begins automatically when we get saved. We just read it in chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Well, it starts then, and it's automatic, but from then on we have to kind of work at it. This is one of the ways that we know for sure that we really are saved, that we truly are born again. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I want you to look around you this morning. It's growing again. Amen? Can you praise God for that? It's good to see us growing again. But I want to ask you, do you love all these other believers in here? Do you? We love you. Amen? Amen. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. God said that twice this morning. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The fact of the matter is that loving each other is indeed loving God. It amounts to the same thing. Love being primarily what we do, not just a feeling that we get sometimes. You know, aren't you glad, ladies, that love isn't just a feeling that we get sometimes and that it's actually what he does? Amen? And what she does, fellas? Well, with that in mind, listen to these verses. Matthew 25. Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king, oh, we were singing it, he is my king, amen? Amen. Then the king shall answer and say unto them, that's unto us if you're born again, ladies and gentlemen. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So loving each other, it is loving God. That's how we speak God's love language, is to love one another. And the third love language of God's is that we have here in the Scriptures is that if you're going to speak God's love language, you're going to love our church. Loving your church is God's love language. If you're going to speak it, you're going to have to learn to love those that Jesus loves. This was, you know, when you first get saved and you realize that you're not going to hell anymore and you start to get a hold of what Jesus has done for you, you want your brothers and your sisters and your mom and your dad and your uncles and your cousins and everybody in your family, you want to get them saved. I was going to make mine get saved. You know, you're going to trust Jesus. It didn't work quite that way, but I found out that the Lord requires me to love the ones He loves. And that's not just in my family, you see. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 says, husbands, can I get an amen from the wives?
Amen.
There you go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody Jesus loves is the church, okay? That's not what this means. It means that when Jesus died for your sins, and when he came and found you and saved you from your miserable condition that you were in, that he had greater plans for your life than just keeping you out of hell. He had plans for you to be a part of one of his churches and to make your life count there for him. That greater plan is clearly spelled out for us. Ephesians 3, for example, of one place. Paul writes in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now there's everybody who's saved, and that's the biblical description of all saved people. It's the family of God. that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able, do you believe He's able this morning?
Amen.
Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in Him, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love my church. I love my church. I have and will continue to give my life for my church. Lisa and I have for about 15 years now given our time, we have given our energy, we have given our money, we have given our very heart to this church. We love our church. And we have suffered for our church. And we have no regrets. No regrets. Whatever God requires of us to be a blessing to our church, we will gladly give. We love our church. You see, this church is our forever family. Our friends are in this church. Thank God many of our blood family are in this church too. What a blessing that is. This church is Christ's body. When as a real believer, you join this church, those three who are going to go through the water this morning, they're going to come up out of the water as a part of this church. Yeah, that's awesome. When you join this church, you become one with the rest of us. It's like it's going to be in heaven in a small way. You know, loving Jesus, but not loving your church, which is Christ's body, it's like a wife saying to her husband, well, I love you, but I don't love your body. Okay? Well, that's going to get a little old after a while. Can I get an amen from the fellas? Yeah, that's going to get old after a while. We are one body in Christ. When one hurts, we all hurt. We do. When those texts go out and somebody's in trouble and somebody's suffering, we all go to our knees and we pray. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are very much like when a couple get married and they become one in the sight of God. So much so that after the Apostle Paul described the proper marriage, as he did in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, if you want to learn about marriage, go read Ephesians chapter 5. You're going to learn all about it. Here's what he said. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you keep those four simple commandments this morning? They're not hard. They're not grievous. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Do you love your church? If you do, then you're definitely speaking God's love language. You really are.